This episode of Standard Orbit is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek FM at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program for the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. Want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode? Join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
This is Walter Koenig, Chekhov from Star Trek, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Risk is our business.
It's like nothing we've dealt with before.
By golly, Jim, I'm beginning to think I can cure a rainy day.
I can't change the laws of physics.
Now in standard orbit, sir.
Welcome, everyone, to Standard Orbit, Trek FM's dedicated podcast that covers the original and new cast of Captain Kirk and the Enterprise. I am Ken Tripp.
And I am Zach Moore, back from my reshoots on the Green Berets. so thanks for playing me out there, Ken. But as I said in some comments on the Babel Conference, you know, I think you'll be getting a call back as well for some reshoots of your own. So,
well, I'm sure we got to marry up, you know, now that they had to redo it because you didn't test well. That's not my fault, buddy. You know, you just got to deal with it and realize that practice makes perfect.
Indeed, indeed. Well, and then also, thank you for being very generous in mentioning my my video company. I have a video company here in Houston, Texas, and they have a large trade show twice a year, and that's in January and July. So every 6 months, I just have about 2 weeks of complete insanity, and that just passed me back. So now I'm back, I'm settled down, and I'm ready to talk some Star Trek.
Last week, when I was taking questions off the Babel Conference, there was a question from Ron Sonner, if that's how it's pronounced, regarding where TOS might be underrepresented in a certain medium. Now, those are my words, and I just don't have enough knowledge of that stuff. Did you have any thoughts on that, Zach?
Well, if this was about maybe 15 years ago, I would say there was a lot of underrepresentation of TOS, you know, as far as Star Trek merchandise goes and memorabilia, because that was, you know, the Berman era. The next gen era, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, even Enterprise, you know, at the end there, even though it took place before those three shows, it was still the 24th century era had kind of taken control of all the marketing. If you turned everywhere you turned around, if you saw something Star Trek, it was Next Generation. And that was the movie franchise of the time, you know, from 1994 to 2002, you know, that was Star Trek at the theater. And then you had the same brand of Star Trek on the small screen. So I would have said, man, you know, if you looked around, it was hard to find original series stuff unless it was like retro stuff. You know, that made it more cool. I think there's a lot more cool nostalgia factor to that authentic old stuff, you know, the old Mego toys and stuff like that. They've since remade them all. Like now you look around and you'll see, you know, oh, we redid the Mego toys and we made the Gorn not just a Klingon with a lizard head this time, you know, stuff like that. And we made the whole crew because there's only a certain amount of crews, and everywhere you turn around now you see your toy phasers and you get lots of just retro. It's cool. The original series is cool again, much like, you know, the Adam West Batman. There was a time, like, when the Tim Burton movies came around in the 80s and early 90s, it was like, oh, well, that wasn't Batman. This is Batman. But it has since come around, and people have embraced it again, and there's, like, a comic book series of the Adam West show, and it's out on home video, and there's toys and all that. And I feel like the original series has gone through a similar renaissance with the 50th anniversary, of course. And then we can't overstate the importance of the Kelvin timeline movies and all that, because that took place at the same time as TOS. So even though it's like new and retrofitted and new special effects and a slicker look and new actors, it's still that brand of Star Trek, that, you know, that era of Star Trek just reinterpreted for a new generation. So yeah, for a good long while there, the you know, if you wanted TOS stuff, you had to go like to the antique store or the comic book store, you know.
Right.
So I think every series, every era gets its time in the sun, and I feel like that's it's spread around pretty equally now. At least now we can look back. Now, where are things going to go? I'm very interested to see how things go when Discovery comes out, because is that going to like overpower everything else? Like, is that going to flood the market of, oh, if you go seek out Star Trek books or games or comics or anything, right? Or toys, right? Is it just going to be Discovery, or are they going to keep the old Star Trek stuff around for that? It's, you know, who's to say, right? So we'll find out when it's all said and done. But yeah, there was a dark time for TOS stuff for a while there, but it's back in full force. And being hosts of the original series podcast on Trek FM, I know you and I are both excited about that, Ken.
You know, we are. It's funny what you were saying about Discovery and merchandise, because hey, you know, this whole thing is about not only entertaining us but making money, and we must be, I guess, ready for them to take on more commercial endeavors. Why did I say that?
We did a show 172, I believe, Star Trek is Everywhere, and we talked about a lot of pop culture references and, you know, movies and TV shows and things, you know, actors or Star Trek references coming up. And that was a lot of fun to do, kind of a trip down memory lane. And we had done some research, because every now and then we do research for Standard Orbit, believe it or not. and we had come across a lot of commercials and other things that you and I had both remembered, and then also some that listeners had suggested, and then, you know, looking up, you know, Star Trek commercials to see what else was out there, we came across some. So we thought it'd be fun to kind of take a look back at all the commercials. Now, these are not Star Trek commercials, right? These aren't like the Hallmark Star Trek commercials, or, you know, the home video commercials and all that. That's all. We can do a whole other show on those sometime, like Star Trek, like they're advertising Star Trek through this. What we're talking about now is like when they kind of combine Star Trek, they use Star Trek for their own advertising purposes, be it like an actor portraying a popular character again, or kind of a mock-up, you know, Enterprise selling something, you know. So yeah, we're going to go down the list here. We're actually going to play some clips, which is a new thing for us here, at least on our version of Standard Orbit Cam. We're going to have some audio-visual supplements to have you guys listen along with us. So it should be pretty fun, because, you know, Star Trek, as long as it's been around, people have been using it to market their product, and that's what we're talking about today. So this episode of Standard Orbit brought to you by...
There you go. Yes. Hey, this is a great concept, and I hope the listeners really enjoy it, because it is a lot more fun to actually listen to the commercials and then hear about us talking about it rather than trying to describe it. So, I'm ready, man. Let's launch this thing.
All right. So the first one. Now, this is before my time, Ken. You might have seen it on the air.
Oh, you always do this to me.
But this is William Shatner selling a Commodore computer. And, you know, he throws some shade at Atari and Intellivision off the top. And I'm like, oh, come on, man. Like, my parents had an Intellivision when I was a kid. And that was like my video game system before we got an N64. So I was like, man, I like the Intellivision, Shatner. But anyway, here it is, guys. William Shatner selling you a Commodore computer from the 80s.
Why buy just a video game from Atari or Intellivision? Invest in the wonder computer of the 1980s for under $300. The Commodore VIC-20. Unlike games, it has a real computer keyboard. With the Commodore VIC-20, the whole family can learn computing at home. Plays great games, too. Under $300, the wonder computer of the 1980s, the Commodore VIC-20.
The wonder computer of the 1980s. Did you have one of these Commodore VIC-20s, Ken?
I did not have a Commodore. I don't remember what we had. I don't think we had anything until the PC started to come out. But what a great commercial. First of all, Shatner was pretty thin, and he was in good shape back then. I would have to say that would had to be before Star Trek V, right? I don't know what year that was made.
This has got to be Wrath of Khan, Search of Spock era Shatner, like mid-80s.
Yeah,
TJ Hooker Shatner.
Yeah, and you know, when you can... For the folks that just heard it, you got to go watch it, because it's great. You know, it's William Shatner in a sweater with the Starfield playing in the background.
Yeah, that's the Star Trek connection. They clearly tie into, like, this is Captain Kirk in space, and it's the Wonder Computer. And that's what they're playing at, that angle.
Yeah, yeah. And he did a fine job, but it's just watching those graphics and those exciting new games, it's like, wow, yeah, I'm old.
Well, it looked like the Bridge of the Excelsior, didn't it? their graphics in Star Trek 3. Full power level.
You're teasing your favorite movie?
You know, yeah, I tease everything I love, Ken. I tease you, right?
Okay, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. I do get it. It is funny. I was watching when I was doing my research for this and trying to find commercials. There was a YouTube video that showed every time the ship blasted off into warp drive. So I couldn't resist. I had to check that out quick. And then showed the Excelsior, and I was like, man, Star Trek 3 was really good, but man, that bridge was cheap. That set was horrible.
Maybe they had a deal. Maybe Shatner did this VIC-20 commercial in the game. Some Commodores for the bridge. They're, we got you covered, man. So.
Yeah, because when it said "Good morning, Captain," it looked a lot like the graphics we just witnessed on the Commodore VIC, whatever it was, VIC 80, 20.
The Wonder VIC. Computer, and, that, no. And not like these video game systems. It has a keyboard, Ken. That's the key. Oh, the keyboard. How quaint.
How quaint it is. Yeah.
So moving on to our next commercial. Now you mentioned Star Trek V, Shatner. This is getting into that territory here. It's a UK commercial. I'm not familiar with National Power, but this commercial it features a little bit of stock footage from the Star Trek movies, as you'll see or hear. It's got Shatner and Doohan, and they're on actually a pretty good looking planet set, which puts some of the planet sets from TOS to shame. And then when Doohan's on the Enterprise, he's in the Enterprise D engineering, which is what they were using as the Enterprise A engineering. In 5 and 6. So let's take a listen.
Meteorite storm.
Scotty, beam us up.
Scotty.
Don't worry, Captain. It's only a shower.
I don't need a brolly, you wally. Beam us up.
I haven't got the power.
Try, man, try. Power! More power!
Man's power, man. Huh? Oh. Uh-oh. Start again.
Well, he certainly hasn't got the power. Good afternoon. But you could have National Power and Power Gen.
To register for a prospectus in the generating company's share offers, call 0272-272-272.
Was this the one that Tim Hans recognized?
Yes.
Yeah, I had seen it before, and I remember Tim sending it when we did the original show, and it was pretty funny. It's harder, I think, to listen to than to see because it's very visual. But yeah, it's definitely Star Trek V, Star Trek VI. In fact, he's wearing his Star Trek V captain's uniform.
Yeah, he's wearing the Star Trek V captain's uniform. Scotty is wearing a very odd combination of his vest that he wears later on in 5, 6 when he shows up on TNG, but not the white undershirt. He's wearing the yellow undershirt from his normal uniform, which I always thought that he should wear because it makes more sense. If his yellow, you know, turtleneck or whatever it is his standard uniform, then that should be what he has under his vest. Although the yellow does not look quite as flattering as the white, so that's probably why they changed it out. But it's funny to see this many mishmash of things. Like Scotty's chilling out in the Enterprise D engineering, running the transporter. So, you know, lots of TNG sets you see in here, much like in Star Trek V, where they made no attempt to hide the fact, yeah, we're just using the TNG sets, guys. It's cool. In 6, Nick Meyer was a little more crafty in how he kind of hit things and recolored things and relit things and all that. But yeah, some impressive, you know, you hear that meteorite storm that they're at. It actually was an impressive planet set. I thought a little production value there, them running around it. And he Shatner calls doing a Wally, which I guess is some kind of UK insult of some kind. I don't need umbrella, you Wally. I'm like, what? reminds me of those Seinfeld commercials where, you know, talking about commercials, right? American Express, like he goes and he does his act in the UK and nobody laughs. And then he like learns all the lingo and he just says this complete nonsense and the crowd goes wild. So it's funny to see that the different terminologies in different parts of the world, even English speaking countries, right?
That's right. That's right. Everybody has their different dialects and great words, and boy, there's plenty in the UK, that's for sure. Every time I visit there, I learn something new. Anyway, before we get too knackered, let's move on to the next one.
Indeed. So this one is pretty unique, and it features the entire cast of TOS and a special surprise appearance by a TNG cast member. But let's see who it is, Ken.
Hi, I'm Chris, and this is Anna with MCI. She recently started a great friends and family calling circle.
A group of friends that wanted to get back in touch.
I believe I actually said we should resume communicating.
So Anna called, and I signed up.
And Chris called me.
I thought if anybody belongs in friends and family, it's us.
I used to get tired of staring at those faces. Now I kind of miss them.
I joined to save the 20% because when I call him, I end up talking to an answering machine, which is more interesting than he is.
I'm usually home. I'm just selective about the calls I take.
When they were forming the circle, they obviously saved the best for last.
Oh, that's why she called me next.
Who is that?
How did he get in here?
There seems to be some error.
I believe you were in the wrong circle.
Call and start saving an extra 20% on calls to your own friends and family circle.
Every week, thousands of people join the millions who already have MCI friends and family. If you'd like to be one of them, give us a ring. After all, shouldn't your least expensive calls be to the people you care about and call all the time?
Now, I really like this commercial. It's kind of heartwarming to see the entire TOS cast, you know, just hanging out in their living room, talking on the phone, having a good time. There's lots of genuine laughter from everybody here, you know, and I thought it was a very heartwarming commercial. And, of course, Jonathan Frakes crashing the party was classic as well.
It was. I hadn't seen that. At least I don't remember it, to be honest with you. And it did. It was nostalgic, and it's nice to see DeForest Kelly. That was really special. It was funny too, but you're right. That seemed very very. It was a family oriented type of thing, and you never think of this original cast really getting along and all the stupid little fights that they've had over the years. But that was nice. That was the way we would want to remember these guys in this commercial. It was very well done.
Indeed. Now, you know, the thing about landlines is, like, this is commercial. It's even lost on me to a certain extent because I'm like, I don't even remember what phones would cost. You know, they're like, oh, call friends and family, all this long distance and stuff like that. It's funny. It's a concept that's completely lost moving forward because, you know, almost everybody has a cell phone. You don't think about, like, your landline. I mean, I haven't, like, when I've lived on my own, when I moved out of my parents, like, I've never had a landline. I've never had a phone. It's not a cell phone. So it's funny to me, like, oh, like the old commercials, like, you know, dial down the middle, 1-800-COLLECT or 1010-321. You know, you remember this stuff like the rest of your life, but it's completely meaningless now, right? So
I think I'm going to get a new co-host. I'm like, man, oh man, I got to go take some Geritol. Anyway, you're. I hear what you're saying. The thing I was thinking about is they show all these people on the phone. I said, wouldn't it be funny if they played with that clip and do you remember the old was it Bud or Bud Light or whatever with the what's up going from one phone to the next?
If only they had made this commercial a few years later.
That would have been something.
What's
to say.
I can't imagine Shatner doing it.
But He'd do it in a second.
I can imagine Takei doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. I can't imagine any of these other guys doing that.
Which is why it'd be perfect. It would just be perfect.
Oh, man. Anyway, yeah, so that's a good one. Definitely seek that. If you're only going to, like, seek out one to watch, guys, of all these we list, go seek out that MCI one. Just MCI, TOS cast, Star Trek cast. It's great to see them all together. That's probably around, you know, Undiscovered Country era, the end of their run, and, you know, Frakes and TNG, the height of their run there. All right, well, on to the next one here. This commercial I had never seen on the air. I don't know when it exactly is from. I'm going to assume it's probably the early, mid-90s, back when TOS was still kind of the flagship show of the franchise, and that was then KFC tapping into the iconography of the original series. And this one is very visual, but we'll talk about it after, but let's go ahead and give it a listen.
Reverse thrust.
Hailing frequencies open.
Scotty, we need more power.
I can't hold it much longer, Captain.
We're losing the Colonel's signal, sir.
Well, what was Spock's order?
His usual, Captain. The two-piece combo.
Okay, give me a two-piece combo.
Aye, sir.
No, wait. Make it three pieces.
Leave them up, Scotty.
Most call, Captain. Almost lost the call slot on that one.
Captain's log, stardate 2453.87. The crisis was averted. Our cravings satisfied. The chicken was excellent.
Take us out of here, Mr. Sulu. Warp factor 2.
Aye, Captain.
You took my fries.
So that is an incredible commercial. as a listener, you can't appreciate it, but the production value of this is amazing. They have the original series cast doing the voices. You have Shatner, Doohan, Takei, Koenig, and Nichols. No Nimoy, no surprise there. They probably approached him and he's like, I'm not doing that.
They don't eat meat. Right.
And Kelly would usually go with, you know, where Nimoy would go. Like, yeah, Kelly turned down Generations because Nimoy turned down Generations. So no surprise there that they weren't in there. But this commercial is awesome because they have these recreations of the Enterprise Bridge and the transporter room. And the actors they picked to portray the younger versions, obviously that there was some makeup at play here, some wigs, stuff like that. But they transformed whoever these commercial actors were into the cast of Star Trek TOS of the 60s. I mean, there was a little bit of, you can see where it's like somebody else in some makeup, but it's uncanny the way they transformed, especially Kirk and Scotty. Like, they are so spot on. Sulu and Chekhov, not so much. Uhura's all right, but Kirk and Scotty, it's brilliant. And they even do like the vignette lighting on their eyes and stuff like that, and it's so great. Even when Kirk's talking about, like, what did Spock get, a two-piece? Give me a two-piece. Wait,
yeah, they
make it a three-piece.
When I first started to watch it, I was wondering, is this really them? Is this really them trying to be young? And then as you saw Chekhov and or if you saw Koenig's character or Takei, you realized, quite, okay, this is not them. But then the voices are them. It really takes you down a funny ride. The values were pretty cool. And for it to start off, because we just saw, you know, the National Power commercial two ago, where it starts off with the new version of the Enterprise, really clear, really pretty, and then this one with the old one, it was really remarkably done. So hats off. I don't know when or what year this was done, but they did a great job with it.
Yeah, if anyone knows more information about this, I'd be very interested to know, because just as an aside here, I think this, and I know this is a goofy commercial for KFC, okay, but I think this is the right way to go about when they're making like younger versions of actors, like in movies and stuff, because CGI, we're still not there, guys. It's the uncanny valley. It's just too weird. Like, if you've seen Star Wars Rogue One, right? A very valiant attempt. You know, you've seen Rogue One, right, Ken?
Yeah, I've seen Rogue One, yes.
So
a few times.
They resurrect Peter. This is our standard Herbert tangent here, just for the record. That's what this is, guys. They resurrect Peter Cushing to play Tarkin, and you know, when they had the first scene of him, you see him looking out a window, right? His back is turned to the camera, and I thought to myself, you know what? That's really clever. He's, you know, we're going to see his reflection, and it's going to be one little scene with Tarkin, and then we're going to move on. And then he turns around, and then, like, is a character in the rest of the movie, and you're like, oh, I didn't expect that. That's as good as human CGI I've ever seen it, but it's still not quite there, right? So, and you see stuff like, you know, Ant-Man with the younger Michael Douglas at the beginning of that film. That was really good. But we're still not there. So I think the solution is you get lookalike actors as close as you possibly can. You get some expert makeup people to kind of put on the prosthetics or whatever you need to do. And then, if possible, you get the original actors to do the voices. And if not, you get skilled impersonators to do the voices. Like, have you ever seen Space Cowboys, Ken?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, it's a really good movie. It's a lot of fun. It has James Garner, Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, I've seen it. Yeah, Clint Eastwood, yeah. Yes, I did see it, I'm sorry.
And there's like a prologue scene of, like, you know, in the 50s or something, right? And it's like in black and white, and they have these guys that look kind of like all the guys when they're older, but they have all the old actors doing the voices, and it kind of bridges that gap and that believability gap. So I think that's totally the way to do these things when you want to see the actors that you know and love, but younger.
All right, so I'm going to test you a little bit.
All right, let's go.
All right, I'm going to see if you can be unbiased in your criticism. So, Superman the movie, young Christopher Reeve, young Clark Kent, did they pull that off?
Well, he did not play the younger.
No, Clark but it Kent. Was his voice.
It was his voice. I didn't realize that until he was older, and I was like, wow, because I thought to myself, wow, that guy sounds a lot like Christopher Reeve. That's some great casting. But it wasn't him.
No, it wasn't him. And if you know, having seen that movie a bunch of times, and it's a great movie. I love Superman the movie. I do kind of say, yeah, it's not always perfectly in sync. And two, yeah, the way it was mixed, the recording was louder than the other voices around that were being captured on the mic. So it was a noble attempt. I do I do, though, 100% agree with you.
Look at you using Superman against me, Ken. Well done. Well played, sir.
I just was curious as to what your thoughts were on that, because it took me out of it a little bit as I got older. That's all. But it's still a great movie. It's just an awesome movie. So no,
my favorite superhero movie, the gold standard of superhero movies, still to this day, in my opinion.
Isn't it funny how I don't know what it is with me and movies and or people's opinions on things. I love that movie. I do. Why I think Man of Steel is the best superhero movie, I don't know. It's right up there with The Dark Knight with me. I don't know why, but it is. I just love it. Anyway, what I wanted to say, though, is you're right. I do agree with that concept. One, I think it's great if you can have working actors work versus CGI. They can't pull it off yet. I think they did a great job in Rogue One with Tarkin. They did a terrible job with Carrie Fisher.
Oh, it was awful. It was so bad.
It was so bad. And it's a shame, because if they had just ended it with, you know, from behind, what, you know, that same kind of shot as you were talking about, and you heard her voice, that would have been perfect. But they just couldn't pull it off. And the rest of that also was a great movie. So I agree with you. I think that's a better way to go if you can do it. And, you know, things are so CGI'd now. In everything you do, it's almost too much. So if you can find, I know we always talk about practical effects. We had a great discussion of CGI versus models many, many, many episodes again. So yeah, I agree with you on that.
All right, well, moving on. Our next one, we're gonna move on to the late 90s, I believe this one is from. This is when William Shatner was doing Priceline. As we all know, he's the Priceline guy. I'm the voice, as you'll hear him say. So in this commercial, they pull in Leonard Nimoy to replace him. So let's take a listen.
Mr. Shatner, please have a seat. We have to let you go.
But I'm the voice of Priceline.
But now it's the new Priceline.
What's new about it?
You can actually choose your flights, times, even airlines from a selection of very low fares.
Or you can still name your own price and save even more.
But who could possibly replace me?
Hi, guys. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Leonard.
The new Priceline. Now there's a choice.
Now that commercial is hilarious. I mean, it's very meta, because who could replace William Shatner? Who else but Leonard Nimoy, right? He shows up to take his job because they're rebranding him on a new voice or Priceline. So brilliant, I thought.
It was very well done. And those two have such a chemistry, or they did. And that was pretty cool. Subtle and perfect. What can you say? It was well done.
Now, Nimoy, I think he was in a couple more Priceline commercials after that, kind of keeping the gag going, but Shatner stuck around for the long haul, and he still does it today. To this day, you'll see him as the Priceline guy. So
he became a zillionaire with the shares and options that he got to make. When Priceline was taking off, it didn't have a lot of money. It was new in concept, so they gave him stock instead, and that stock flew. I mean, it was incredible. So yeah, if you need a few bucks, I'm sure that Shatner can send you a couple of shares of stock to help you out.
Well, that is a perfect example of advertising working on me, because it's like, all right, I need to book this trip. There's Travelocity. There's, you know, whatever, right? There's Priceline. Oh, Shatner does that. Oh, yeah, Shatner and Nemo, this commercial, Star Trek. Yeah, totally, I'm going to use Priceline. So I'm sure that there's like a whole giant demographic of the people who use Priceline services that do it purely because Shatner's the spokesperson, right?
Oh, I'm sure. And it did take off. I mean, he did a wonderful job. And if you'll remember, there was a time when they were looking to replace him and he was going to be removed. And it just didn't work out. Then he started doing, I forget the actress's name, Kelly Cuoco. Is that how you pronounce it?
Oh, from the Big Bang Theory.
From the Big Bang Theory, yeah.
His daughter, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, well, you know, granddaughter would have been more appropriate, yeah. But hey, what the hell? You know, it is what it is. You got to play with the ego there. But yeah, it's a great commercial. They have like I said, those two always played great off each other. Again, if you can YouTube the two of them on a plane talking about doing a movie for the 20th anniversary, Star Trek IV. It's absolutely hilarious. So find that. You'll enjoy it.
All right. Well, you know, moving on, Nimoy was in this one, and he's in our next one, too, in a Leave commercial with him having a little trouble doing the Vulcan salute at a Star Trek convention. Let's take a listen.
Ira, listen to me. You're my agent. You have to believe me. I can't do it. Why? Because it hurts. I'm trying right now, and it's not working.
We have to cancel the date.
A leave? Sure, I'll try it.
Fortunately, just two Aleve have the strength to stop arthritis pain all day.
That's good news. That's Aleve.
Okay, this commercial really makes me laugh for a lot of reasons. But kudos to them for, one, actually getting authentic Star Trek uniforms for this, right? Because, you know, well, Nimoy, he walks out on the stage, right, after he's tried his Aleve, right? And you see all the fans, they're waiting. They're waiting for him to do it. And there's one particular shot of a woman in, like, a season one and two TNG uniform. I'm like, wow, that's some inside baseball there to pull off that uniform. And it's accurate, too, because it's not like you expect something like Saturday Night Live, right, with some goofy, like, hey, he's in a brightly colored T-shirt, guys. You get the idea at Star Trek. So kudos there to Aleve. But also, so he does the Vulcan salute, and the crowd just goes insane. These people are like, yeah, like they had just like won the Super Bowl because they saw Leonard Nimoy do the Live Long and Prosper. I laugh about that. I would probably do that myself had I been in that room. But anyway, just a very cute commercial about, you know, pain relief and all that. Have you ever tried to leave, Ken?
Yes, I have.
Does it work for you?
It does. As you can see, I can do the Vulcan salute very well.
Yeah, that's right. He's doing it.
That's right. So what I really liked about the beginning of the show is he's holding his hand up, trying to do it, and he's walking as he's doing it, and everybody's just waving to him because they all think he's just waving. Yeah. And I thought that was very clever. So I love the subtlety. I also like that you say the authenticity at the end. You know, you have a full-size stage. You have the big TV screens or big screens in the background, just like it's a real convention, and the reaction from the crowd was perfect. So they pulled this was a flawless commercial, I think, and they did a nice job with it.
Absolutely. Well, we'll see a turn here back to Shatner for our next commercial because, you know, Shatner, he's done the most and he is in the most because Shatner, if you give Shatner money, he will do anything. So
he pretty much will. He is greedy. You know what? It keeps him young.
There's a commercial from DirecTV, came out in the mid-2000s, I believe.
Shall we raise our shields, Captain?
At ease, Mr. Chekhov. Again with the shields. I wish you'd just relax and enjoy the amazing picture clarity of the DirecTV HD we just hooked up. With what Starfleet just ponied up for this big screen TV, settling for cable would be illogical. What? I can't use that line?
For picture quality that beats cable, you've got to get DirecTV.
So have you ever used DirecTV, Ken?
Yes, I've used DirecTV, and thank you. Great commercial. It's cleverly done. It's literally ripping outtakes from Star Trek VI. He's walking around the bridge. The only thing they didn't get right was his rank insignia, but otherwise, everything else was perfect.
What was wrong with his rank insignia?
I don't know what it was, but it certainly wasn't his captain's insignia, that's for sure. I don't know, it just was different. So if you look at it again, you'll see it just it doesn't align to what the real rank insignia is, which is funny because they had the rest of the uniform perfect. At the very beginning, it was really him, and that, you know, as part of the commercial, and then you'll see there's subtle differences in the uniform and everything else, and so it goes between him being, you know, talking and juxtaposed in there in costume to the actual, you know, voiceover that they do while they do the movie. So
I do like them referencing the view screen as like a big screen TV.
Yeah, that is pretty good. Yeah, it was good. It was very good. It, you know,
this was a series of commercials like this. Some other ones were like Sigourney Weaver in Aliens. Like she was in the giant construction thing at the end of Aliens fighting the alien queen. And they had some other movies like this as well, where they're like, hey guys, you remember these movies? Well, there's these famous actors doing their famous roles again, selling you DirecTV. And I thought that was pretty cute. Whenever they go above and beyond for something like that, I really do appreciate it. So, and they ran this for a long time. This is always like on like in sports and playoffs and stuff like this. I saw this commercial all throughout college. I always put a smile on my face when I saw Shatner out there as Kirk again.
Who the hell in Houston was on playoffs?
You know what? Let's just... Let's move on. But that is... sports ball dig. Hey, I'll have you know, sir, in 2004 and 2005, the Astros had their, you know, two best seasons. So, at least as far as playoff success goes. So.
Oh, I remember. I read the book, The Rocket That Fell to Earth.
Oh, I read that book as well. Very fascinating, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was a fascinating book. Here's a tangent. But Roger Clemens, man... obviously big star here in Boston, went off to the Yankees, our hated rival, wound up in Houston, got caught but got away with doing some bad things. But it was a very telling story about a very complex guy.
What are you talking about, man? His wife gave him those steroids. He had nothing to do with that. So him and Nanny Pettit's fault. Her and Nanny Pettit's fault. But anyway. Moving on to our next commercial is a Verizon commercial about a transporter around the time Star Trek 09 was coming out. So here we go.
Good morning, cadets. This is it. This is for real. You will be dismantled at a molecular level. Beamed down as pure energy.
Ooh, wait, I saw a spider come through here earlier. Well, I have eight legs.
And beamed down as pure energy.
Whoa, wait. I don't want to end up with his face.
And I don't know if that'll... You know?
And converted back into solid matter at the desired location.
Okay, let's do...
Wait, what?
Are you cut out for Starfleet Academy? Find out when Star Trek action comes to VCast with a Star Trek mobile game from EA, 23rd Century apps, and exclusive movie footage. And for the coolest phone in Starfleet, get the Nokia 7205 Intrigue. Plus, for your chance to win a trip to space, boldly go to joinstarfleetacademy.com or text Kirk to 41414.
This is the first commercial I didn't like, and it's not one that I had seen before either. I'll tell you why. It looked like it had a lot of potential and it was going to have a big punchline or something funny at the end, and it didn't. It just ended with him collapsing.
Were you expecting the Spaceballs thing? Because all these guys are on the transporter pad.
I didn't know what he was going to come back as, but it just wasn't funny. He just fell down.
Yeah, it was mildly. I found the guys, the recruiter's annoyance with him amusing. And they do kind of lay out what a transporter does pretty well.
Yeah, so. I was just waiting for the payoff. You know, so it had a great setup. It was humorous to a point, and then it just died. So anyway,
yeah, you know, screen accurate Star Trek 09 costumes. They probably had some deal with the studio. They actually got the real costumes for change instead. Like, you know, you're mentioning all these other costumes that, you know, like DirecTV and Shatner there in the last ad had to kind of cobble them together. I think this one was straight up like, yeah, here you go, Verizon, have these for the day, right?
Well, they definitely coordinated with Nokia. Nokia was in the movie itself in the Corvette, so. Yeah, there was definitely something.
That's right.
Yeah, so there was definitely a tie-in. They didn't have Slusho or anything, but they had everything else.
Nice. Mm. So, yeah. So our next one's going to be, we're in the Kelvin era now, so a lot of these are going to be Kelvin-inspired. This is a great commercial with Leonard Nimoy and Zachary Quinto. And what makes it even greater is because you know they're friends in real life, so like this kind of situation might have not been too far from the truth. So here we go.
You want to play a round of golf at the club and get some lunch?
Whoever gets to the club last
buys lunch.
Stand by to have your wallet emptied by a tractor beam.
Anything's possible, but probably not that.
Earth in the land of Shire, there's a brave little hobbit we all admire. Long wooden pipe, fuzzy woolen toes. Lives in a hobbit hole, and everybody knows him, Bilbo. Bilbo Baggins, the bravest little hobbit of them all. Yeah.
Go, Bilbo!
Paul Leonard.
Go.
Hey, where are you?
Use your sensors.
No need. I'm already here.
You're there already?
I feel like I'm stuck in a black hole.
No worries. I can practice my swing if you need to pull over and take a nap.
Smartass. I have been and always shall be your friend.
Really?
I had to.
Nice try, you wish.
No, I definitely had to.
Not for a second. Obviously, you're buying lunch.
Technically, we're not inside yet. I'll see you inside.
I love this commercial. I remember seeing it a few years ago when it first came out, and it was the first time I had heard the term, hey, you won the internet, because I sent it to somebody as a link, and they really appreciated it. But I love the Nimoy and the Quinto chemistry, and just a funny commercial. I thought it I think it did a lot to sell the brand, which is what they were looking to do, and they did it in a great way. It obviously a lot of play on words, and I thought Leonard Nimoy did a pretty good job. The ending was very unexpected when he gave him the neck pinch. So
yeah.
it was a lot of fun. You know, it's funny, Zach. You know, you see these guys again, and it's you laugh, and then you kind of get a little bit sad, because I really do miss Leonard Nimoy a lot. He was I was saying this on another show, that you can talk about the different eras of Star Trek or whatever, but Spock is Star Trek. He just is. And you see his picture, you know exactly what they're talking about. He's the most recognizable Star Trek character of them all. And so it makes you smile, and then you feel kind of sad because he's not around anymore.
Yeah, and it was so recent, too. You think, oh, they're still out there doing that. Like, oh, no, he's passed away now. But yeah, him and Zachary Quinto, we're friends in real life. And it's funny, much like in the older ads with Shatner and Nimoy, you could sense that real-life chemistry coming through in the advertisement there. And you know, it's self-aware, but it's not annoying. Like, there's, little Star Trek references. Like, he says black hole, and he does the whole, Rathacon thing, put his hand up on the window. Like, oh, okay, that's cute. And then, of course, he's singing the Bilbo Baggins ballad, which is hilarious, right?
Have you seen the music video that he did?
Oh, who hasn't seen the music video that he did?
Yeah, well,
that should be required viewing for everyone.
Yes, it should. It should. So,
I was really hoping that Quinto would have a tie-in to, when the Hobbit trilogy came out, a few years ago. I was like, oh, they might tie into that, and Quinto can have a remix of the Ballad of Bilbo Baggins. They didn't quite go there, did they? So
no, they did not. They did not. But, there are certain things that you can, I guess, mirror or remake. That is not something that should ever be remade.
Let's leave the past in the past on that one. So
that's right. That's right.
Moving on. So we're in the Into Darkness era now, and this next one is an Esurance commercial. There's no actual Star Trek cast members in it, but there's a recreation of the Kelvin Timeline Enterprise bridge and uniforms, and very, very authentic. So let's take a listen.
Who's saying, why does the Enterprise get all the good missions?
Here we go. On screen.
I'm very sorry. I think I ran into you.
It's space. You couldn't go around me?
Don't worry. I have Esurance. They're modern tools that may customize my policy.
Are you okay? Because you look a little banged up.
You're pretty jacked up, man.
Yeah.
That's my face.
Oh.
See Star Trek Into Darkness in theaters May 17th. Go to Esurance's Facebook page for a chance at free movie ticket.
So that was cute, I thought. It's like a fender bender in space. It's like, we're in space. You can just move around me.
Why does the Enterprise get all the neat missions, right?
Yeah.
All the cool missions. Yeah, that was an excellent play, and I think a good tie-in movie, a good tie-in commercial. But yeah, it was funny. It was fast, and you know what? You're right. They did use the original sets and all that, and it came out just fine.
Yeah, compare that to the Verizon commercial from earlier. I definitely see the faults in that one, Ken, as you said, that the only one you didn't enjoy was the Verizon one. Yeah, that was too long, and the jokes weren't that funny, and it just went on and on and on. This one, quick, to the point, you immediately get what they're going for there. Very humorous, very cute commercial. So the next one is another Kelvin Timeline one, but we have some stars this time. We have Zachary Quinto and Anton Yelchin appear as Spock and Chekhov. They beam into Xfinity headquarters.
What is this place?
Where are we?
This is where we bring together the fastest internet and the best in entertainment. We call it the X1 Entertainment Operating System.
It looks like the future!
We must have encountered a temporal vortex. Further analytics are necessary. Beam us up.
That's my phone!
The X1 Entertainment Operating System, only from Xfinity. TV and internet, together like never before.
So yeah, Spock and Chekhov just steal all their stuff here at the end of this commercial, don't they, Ken?
It needs to be explored. They need to do additional research. So, in the name of science, wouldn't you take it too?
Yes, in the name, anything, you can justify anything in the name of science, right?
Yes,
so,
absolutely.
The logical course of action. So, but yeah, it's you know, talking about Nimoy earlier. You know, I hadn't realized like until I watched the commercial, like, oh wow, this is like the second to last appearances of Chekhov from Yelchin. You know, one of those, you know, little snippets of him in character that, you know, we'll never see anymore since he unfortunately passed away as well. So what it was like a cute commercial on its own now becomes a nice little gem of a little more, just a couple more moments with Anton Chekhov there, huh?
That's right. That's right. He's definitely going to be missed. And that was a nice little commercial. It was fast. You know, it didn't play too long. What I thought one of the things that I appreciated about it though was the lens flares. I don't know if you noticed it, but yeah, they played with that through the yeah, very very accurate throughout the whole commercial. So they did they definitely did pick up on that and have a little fun with JJ. But otherwise, yeah, it was a nice little snippet. You know, it really was fast, and it could have been played for a little bit longer. But it was meant to be funny. It wasn't that funny, but it was kind of a cute, you know, little homage thing. So it's well done.
It's an interesting duo there, Spock and Chekhov. It's like, I wonder if they called like everybody. Like, okay, well, Chris Pine's busy, Zoe Saldana is busy. You can probably get Simon Pegg. Oh no, he's busy this weekend. Okay, it's like you wonder what the hierarchy was for them to get these two groups. It's kind of like Generations. They're like, all right, we got Kirk, Chekhov, and Scotty. That's who wanted to show up. So that's what we got in this one. So
yeah. I didn't even think about that, but yeah, it winds up being a good combination, and it's two of the younger cast members too, right?
Right.
For the most part, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're gonna get to our last commercial here, Quicken Loans commercial. Came out last year, the tie-in for Beyond, and it's a Vulcan using Quicken Loans. So here we go.
As a satisfied client, Quicken Loans has asked me to show you just how easy it is to secure financing for a dwelling like this in just a few Earth minutes using Rocket Mortgage. We need only answer a few quick and simple questions. Name, address, income and employment history, married for 104 long and prosperous years, desired down payment, this much. I'm not sure what the exchange rate of Earth dollars is. However, I am told that I have an adequate amount of Benjamins. Now Rocket Mortgage will pull my credit at no cost and provide a custom solution based on my financial information. And all that's left is to push this button. If I chose to express emotion, I would say that Rocket Mortgage has made me the happiest humanoid in the galaxy.
See Star Trek Beyond in theaters.
So that was a phone. I love that the guy's name is Sevik. And he uses terms like one of your Earth hours, which is always a classic alien line in Star Trek. And so, yeah, it was pretty cute in that they captured the whole Vulcan approach to something like this very well, I thought. And, of course, he's in a screen-accurate Kelvin timeline uniform. And, you know, his haircut and ears are pretty spot-on for a Vulcan, too. So that's a pretty cute commercial, I thought, Ken.
It was very well done. I like, you know, he enters his name and then it says location and he types in ear and then adds the TH for Earth. So it was kind of a neat little play on that. And I thought whoever that actor is, he plays a heck of a Vulcan, and they pulled it off. I like too listening to the Star Trek music in the background going the whole time too. It's a good commercial. I think it's really playing off. I don't know if that was Into Darkness era or 09 era or Beyond. I don't know how old that was. 2016.
It was from Star Trek Beyond, yeah, because the tie in at the end was like, watch Star Trek Beyond this summer.
I didn't catch that.
They had the old leftover uniforms from Into Darkness, I guess, for him. But yeah, that was a good one. Because, you know, here's the deal. At the end of the day, a lot of times, as a fan of Star Trek, you see it in popular culture, and you see it kind of, like, taken advantage of just for its brand recognition and its facepalm-inducing. You're like, oh, why did you do that? You know, Paramount or CBS or whoever's in charge of whatever branch these days. Like, why did you allow them to take the Star Trek band and do something so just the lowest common denominator with it, right? But I think for the most part, all these commercials here we talked about, pretty solid, pretty entertaining, pretty clever, humorous while still being respectful, which you know, is our whole approach here as well on Center Orbit. So I connect with that angle towards things very well. So I, you know, other than that Verizon commercial, I guess we were both kind of lukewarm on, The rest of these, pretty solid stuff. Really took advantage of the actors or the environment or the situations from Star Trek and used them to their advantage to make really memorable, fun commercials.
That's right. That's right. And if, you know, if you happen to go find an old Commodore computer and you need energy, you go through National Power, then you can call your friends on MCI while eating dinner at KMC, searching for a place to stay on Priceline. And if all this is giving you a headache, you can just pop in and leave, right? You can go from there or take a ride in your Audi. Be careful if you're in an accident. You can get some insurance. And then, you know, if you see a nice house, you can apply for a loan. So now that we've got all of that settled, if you do any of those things, Zach and I will get some money for this. So please, no, just kidding. Anyway, I was trying to tie it all together. It was a little hard, but, well, we gave it a shot.
Well done, Ken. That was a very impressive spiel right there. So
anyway, I really enjoyed this episode. This is a great concept you came up with, Zach, and I hope the listeners enjoy it. And then if you see some more out there, please share it on the Babel Conference, because this is the stuff that brings it all home and we have a good time with. So again, another Standard Orbit original, and that's what I like.
Yeah, this is by no means a complete catalog of all the Star Trek commercials that have graced us over the years. So yeah, if you guys remember any, can find any more on the internet that we didn't touch on here, definitely let us know. We'd love to see them, and we can talk about them again maybe next time around when we dip our toe into this pop culture Star Trek nexus.
And you stayed in the lane, Zach, right? We pull anything up from any of the other, so other than Jonathan Frakes popping in on the MCI, which is perfect. you know, I'm sure there had to be some TNG era commercial. I can't remember any, but there's got to be some, I would think. And I know Patrick Stewart was a spokesperson for different things as time went on, so I'm sure we can find something.
Well, we'll have our friends at Earl Grey cover those.
Yes, we will. We wouldn't step into their sandbox now, would we, Zach?
No, we would never do that, Ken.
No. Not so long as you guys are on the air.
All right, well, talking about Star Trek-themed commercials isn't the only thing that's going on here on Trek FM this week. Here's a quick look at what else you might have missed elsewhere on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, The Orb.
After the captain's documentary, I think we all wish that there had been a piano in Sisko's quarters. And at some point in every episode, someone walked in and he was just over in the corner rambling away.
Warp 5.
And there's a wipe from right to left in the screen. And you never see that on Star Trek. It completely pulls me out of the episode every time I see it.
Thanks a lot. Because I've never noticed it.
Yeah, hey, I didn't notice it.
Ever!
Now I'm going to see it. Okay.
You just ruined the entire episode for everyone listening.
I'm so sorry.
The 602 Club.
That's a really smart idea because that's also something that, you know, Caesar sees. Is that we're not that different.
The Ready Room.
As with so many places, CBS, in marketing the show and getting it out to as many eyeballs as possible, they're obviously wanting fans and armchair fans and maybe would-be fans, genre fans who might give Star Trek a but they're still trying to get out to the great unwashed and the mundanes. And this is actually stretching the season out beyond 15 actual weeks.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out these shows and find out what we're talking about in your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcast. If you're an Apple user, get the show on iTunes or the Apple Podcasts app. Be sure to hit the subscribe button. That helps us greatly and makes it easier for other listeners to find the show. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Stitcher, TuneIn, Speaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, and of course, you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website and grab the RSS link as well.
If you'd like to get in touch with us here at Trek FM, you can always find us on trekfm.com/contact and look in the sidebar on the show page, or you can go to speakpipe.com/trekfm and please leave us a voice message. You can also contact us through Twitter at trekfm, or on Facebook at facebook.com/TrekFM, and of course in the Babel Conference. Type Babel Conference, that's B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, or go to our website at TrekFM and click discussion on the menu bar. Another way you can help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week is to become a patron on the network on Patreon. If you visit patreon.com/TrekFM, that's patreon.com/TrekFM, you'll find the current goals and different milestone contributions along with all the great perks we have for you. These perks include early access to content, exclusive content, producer credits, seats on our content development team, and more. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details on patreon.com/trekfm. Speaking of Patreon, thank you as always to our great associate producers for Standard Orbit. We have Renee Roberts, Norman Lau, Aaron Harvey, Tim Robertson, Nick Anastasio, Richard Marquez, and Corey Elrod.
Yes, thank you guys so much for your support for both Standard Orbit and Trek FM. So Ken, if people want to find you out there on the internet, where can they find you?
Hey, you can find me hanging around the Babel Conference and engaging people when I have the opportunity. You can also find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @BostonSCPO, and we like to tweet out all our new episode information as soon as we get it, as well as our colleagues. So look for me there.
As for me, you can find me on Twitter @MoronZach. That's MoreonZach. And I'm also the host of my own podcast, Always Hold On to Smallville, where we talk about each and every episode of that Young Superman series from the early 2000s. And you can find us on Twitter @AlwaysMallville with one S. So thanks, everyone, for listening, and join us again next time here on Trek FM for another episode of Standard Orbit.